everyone. Welcome to another episode of Life Chat with Viv and Phil. We're so excited for you to join us today. Vilma, aren't you excited to have this show today?
I am very excited. One reason, because I am going to be one of the guests that you are going to interview along with our other two guests.
Yes, I thought you would be very excited because this is about your journey in accomplish a goal that you've set for yourself for many years to be called, what you said the first show, a doctor nurse. Is that what you called yourself?
You could say that. But as we get into the show, people will understand exactly what we're talking about.
So, okay, ladies, welcome to the show. I am so excited to have you all here today. We have Dr. Renee Davis with us. Dr. Renee Davis, can you say hello to our audience?
Hello, I'm glad to be here again on another episode. Excited for what we're talking about today.
And we have your sister. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Dr. Rutledge, and it is an honor to be included in this evening's broadcast.
Welcome, welcome, ladies. And we have, now I'm going to reintroduce my co-host, Dr. Vilma Davis.
Hello, everyone. How is everybody doing? And before we continue, Vivilyn, we want to remind our audience how they can view our podcast.
Right. Go ahead.
You can watch us on Facebook, Live Chat with Viv and Vil. You can visit our website, livechatwithvivandvil.com. Or you can send us an email, livechatvivandvil@gmail.com. We also have a radio show, Vital GH Radio, and we are there on Mondays and on Saturdays at 7 p.m. We are also on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and all the major syndicated podcasts. I'm so excited.
Yeah, this is going to be a great show because you ladies have journeyed a long way, and I know our audience will be excited for all the things that you guys can impart and share and able to help them to accomplish the goals and dreams that they've set for themselves. Now, Vilma, could you describe the relationship between you three ladies?
Oh, okay. Dr. Rutledge is my younger sister, and Dr. Renee Davis is my daughter.
Now, ladies, who want to go first with your stories of how you've accomplished your goal of obtaining your PhD? I believe that's the journey.
Okay. First of all, just want to say that the purpose behind us doing this show is to encourage others who will be listening to us who may have had similar journeys as they try to accomplish some goal that they had in life. We also would like to encourage you that it is not the start, but it's the finish. So as we tell our stories this evening about our journey and how we were able to triumph through tragedy to reach our goal of obtaining our degree or our terminal degrees, as others would say. So if I should start, my journey began in September 2010 when, as a pediatric nurse practitioner, I wanted to go back to school to do my PhD. And education was one thing that was stressed so much in my family. So as much as I was older, I thought this is something that I really need to do to make my father above everything else or everybody else, really proud that what he stressed in life was something I'm getting ready to achieve, although my father was not alive to see it. However, as I started this journey, I was met with a number of tragedies that caused me to really stop and reconsider, really, do I want to do this? And to me, it was a tragedy that mothers do not want to encounter. I had a 28 and a half year old son and my daughter. My son was just getting ready to do his master's at a university in Virginia. So I was very excited that my daughter, my son, and myself would be going to school at the same time. However, 2 years, or almost 2 years, in us on this journey, something unforeseen happened where my son suddenly passed away. And that was really a very, very devastating event for me. One that I didn't know that I would be able to survive. School at the point, right when it happened, didn't really mean much to me. I was devastated. And when I felt like giving up, I thought, no, for the sake of my father who had gone, the sake of my son, who I always told him, we don't quit in this family. For the sake of all those who look to me as a role model, I decided that I was going to continue the journey. As we share our stories, you're going to find that it intertwines, because one of the guests is my sister and the other is my daughter. And the things that happened to us during this journey did not just happen in my immediate family. Also, my sister will share her journey. So I'm going to stop here and I'm going to allow her to pick up where she wants to and continue to share the journey. And I'll have my daughter do likewise. Paula?
Oh, thank you. Thank you. My name is Paula. And my journey, when I think about my journey, I immediately think of the analogy of driving down a road. I grew up on the island of Jamaica and from a very large family, 12 children in the family. And as my sister Vilma mentioned, my father was a great proponent of the value of having an education. And as a result of that, he sacrificed to send his children to school. And so we grew up going to prep school or a private school. Some people will know that. Even though we weren't wealthy, he ensured that we got a good education, because according to my dad, if you have a good education, nobody can take it from you and you'll be able to be whatever be. Now, it's important to note that my mother, while my father valued a good education, my mother was a Christian and she gave us that firm foundation of knowing the Lord. And so I finished high school at age 17, and so in wanting to get a higher education, my parents decided that they were going to put everything away. They were in their 50s and allow the children to go to Canada. So when I went to Canada, I started this journey. So starting in Jamaica, following the analogy of the road, I went to Canada, got on the highway, so to speak. And so just pursued college because I wanted to become a nurse. Not only that, like my sister mentioned, I wanted to please my dad. So fast forward to the PhD journey. When we both started, and it's interesting, my sister and I are very alike. So she went into nursing. I decided I was going to do nursing, not because she did, but it was something that appealed to me because of caring for people and wanting to make a difference. So I went into nursing and she said, hey, Paula, there's a PhD program. Do you want to sign up? I said, hey, why not? So, you know, that started the journey for both of us. And at the time when Ron, my son, passed, you know, it kind of threw us, her more so than myself, but, you know, it was a jolt to the journey, more like a detour from the journey that we were on. And so one of the good things about being on a journey with someone, knowing God, is that you're able to encourage each other. So during that time, I know the relationship that I had with God. And so it made me kind of just cling closer to him, knowing that, you know, the Bible talks about 1 John 4:14, where he says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And so I kind of just clung to that belief. This tragedy happened. It threw us off course for a while, but, you know, we encourage each other. So we have a good relationship, mm-hmm. and we were going back and forth. And so that passed. And then the other tragedy that struck, and I think, Vilma, you can correct me if I'm wrong, it was maybe a couple years down the road, there was another death in the family. This time it was my brother's wife. And that also caused us to be a little bit jolted. But then the big thing that happened, and then I'll stop after this, was at the same time that my brother's wife passed, my then husband was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. And at that point, I kind of just threw my hand up and said, God, what's going on here? Mm-hmm. What is going on here? And there were days when I would call my sister. That's Vilma. And I said, Vilma, I don't think I can do this. Mm-hmm. You know, and it was back and forth. But one thing that I really want to say is that thank God for my parents, but my mother, who reinforced the reality of God. You know, I went back to that foundation. I clung even closer to him, and I stood on his promise, and I said, you know, there were a lot of times that I was just, I was working full-time then, mm-hmm. as a practitioner. And I had to take him for his chemotherapy. I knew that the outcome, when a person is diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, then the outcome usually was not good. But then I had to be strong. So, you know, I continued on. But one of the things that I want to pause and say to people who are listening, mm-hmm. you know, we have our up and down in life. Mm-hmm. But the thing that kept me going, the thing that gave me strength, I'm looking back and I'm thinking, my God, mm-hmm. you know, I actually went through all of that and came through. But it was because of my faith in God. It was because that I knew that he wasn't going to take me this far to leave me.
Right. Wow, that's some journey to where you are. And I'm just so excited that you kept your faith in God, even though so many trials and so many things came your way, that you continued in your trust and confidence in him. Vilma? Mm-hmm.
Yes, so I'm going to have Renee start her story, and then I continue with mine.
Okay, so I'll start. 2005, I was graduating from high school, and I'll let you know why this is important. At the same time I graduated from high school, my brother graduated from college, and my dad graduated with his master's. When I went to my dad's graduation at that time, I saw a group who were the candidates for the PhD degree, and never experienced it before, but I just felt like the Lord had placed it on my heart. You're going to be sitting there one day. And so knowing that I was going into psychology, you can do many things with an undergraduate degree in psychology, but in order to practice, you have to go all of the way. And by all the way, I mean until your doctorate, really. And so I knew if I was going to fully commit to this, it was going to be quite the journey. And I also knew the word that God had given me in 2005. So fast forward to 2009, I finished undergrad and started graduate school at Howard University in Washington, D.C. As my mom alluded to earlier, she was 2 years into her program. I was 3 years into my program when I lost my brother unexpectedly. And that was a significant challenge because I was living in the D.C. area at the time. So experiencing that kind of grief at my age was overwhelming, to say the least. And I experienced losses of other family members as well. I think my mom will go into a little bit of those details. But one thing I held on to was that word that God gave me. And I kept telling him, I said, God, you told me I would be here one day. This feels like a lot to face. This feels like a huge challenge, a huge mountain, and I'm not going to make it without you. And sure enough, by the grace of God, I was able to get to the end goal.
Okay. So here are the series of things that happen. And Paula, because whatever happens to one affects the other. In my son passed away in 2012, in March of 2012. My niece, which is Paula's daughter, lost a baby at full term. I think she actually lost her first child at 2011. Paula, was it 2011?
Yes, 2011, yes. That's correct.
2011, right. Okay. She lost her baby at term, which was devastating. Then my son in March of 2012, then my niece lost another baby at full term. Then my nephew, who was also my godson, passed away in December of 2014. My brother lost his wife in early 2014, 2015. I lost my brother-in-law and around about the same time, and which was my sister's husband, which he'll go into. So it was just death after death after death. And I was afraid to tell people what was happening in our lives. I was afraid because it was like, I can't tell people. They're going to believe that we are making this thing up. I just cannot tell anybody else that I lost a family member. So I kind of kept it in because it was so much. And even now that I'm talking about it, it just brings me back to those days. And I would still continue to work. And I was there as the support, in addition to God, for all these going to the funeral home, helping to choose casket and planning and doing this. And of course, the PhD was on the back burner in the sense of the word. But I was also had a ministry and push empowering mothers to pray until something happens. And I really bargained with God. I was really upset. I was really, really down because I'm like, God, how can this be happening? What it is when people would come and say, give me the story of Job. I was like, I'm not Job. Don't liken me to Job. It didn't make me feel any better. But as much as I wanted to crawl in my bed, most days cover up to my head and not come out, but God showed me how much he loved me. And I started to read a number of scriptures that talk about trials and going through and the love of God and him being beside you and thinking that nothing that we do for him is a payment or is a down payment that nothing bad or tragic will happen to us. So through it all, I was ministering to people. Some of them didn't even know that I was going through the same thing, the losses and everything. I would not even tell them at work when I needed time off for a funeral because I didn't want them to know because it sounded like a story in a novel. But God, I was able to minister to people. I was able to continue with my ministry. And in the end, I was able to complete school. And I'm not even going to go into the many hitches that I have going to a predominantly Black university and how they don't seem to, in my opinion, move very fast. My daughter is looking at me very fast when it comes to returning your work. And they are tough. They seem as if they want you to work. I don't know if it's because it's a Black university. They want you to work twice as hard and do twice as much because I guess they wanted to show, not because it's a Black university, but you had to work hard. But in the end, it was joy. And I will wait to talk about the culmination of the three of us graduating on the same weekend with our degrees. And the joy that it brought to our family. And then again, people couldn't believe three people with a PhD, what is it? They're giving it away? No, we work hard for it. And God rewarded us together. I'm going to let Paula continue, add whatever she wants to do as we continue this journey.
Okay, thank you. One of the things that I want to look at during this journey or talk about is when my then husband was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, we also had taken on the care of a baby. It's interesting, 2 years prior to the diagnosis, my brother, whose wife passed the year before my husband did, she said, you know, we have this little baby. Her daughter had a baby in the hospital, and they are looking for someone to take the baby. And so they reached out to me and asked, at the time the baby was born, premature, had major surgery, and he thought that because of my background in nursing, I would be a good fit to take care of this baby boy. And without even giving it a second thought, I said, yeah, you know, I don't want the baby to go to strangers. So yeah, I will assume care, not knowing what was coming. But I believe that God wanted me to assume care for this baby, newborn baby. So the baby came, my then husband was happy, and you know, it was very supportive. We brought him into our home. So I was working full time, raising a newborn and going to graduate school. 2 years later, he was diagnosed. It was challenging, you know, doing all of those things. But as women, and especially Black women, we think that, you know, we are strong, we can do it. But, you know, the journey we went through, God brought us through. And so all glory to him. However, along the journey, I would sit here in life. I didn't say that there were times when I had some serious conversation with God. You know, I challenged him as to, God, I'm doing all of this. I just took this baby in. I'm going to school. I'm doing all this. And now this, my husband was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. And to top it off, I was the caregiver for him because, you know, I had to. There were times I run to work. I work close to home, came home, make sure he had something to eat. I run back. And it was like a treadmill, just going, going, going. One day, I used to go to my basement to pray in the morning. I went down there and I cried out to God and I said, God, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? All I've done so far, and you know, we have a way of highlighting the good that we have done and all of that to God. And I said, God, I've done all of this. And I said, you took Ron. Ron is Vilma's son. And, you know, he was the nicest young man you could ever find. He was the one who had all the little kids at a party. He would be there with the kids, taking care of them and so forth. And I said, you took him. You took this one, allow this one to go. And now this, and all that we've been doing as a family, Vilma was doing her M push. I was taking care of this little boy. I was active in church. And now this, God, what are you trying to do? And one of the things that came to me as I was down there praying was I felt the warmth of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit telling me that all things will work together for good. And when I first heard it, in my spirit, I said, how is this going through chemotherapy, not eating, and how is it going to work out for good? But then the rest of the verse, all things will work together for good to those that love God or called according to his purpose. And one of the things that I want to say to people listening, as Christian, we are not promised this smooth journey. And when we encounter these roadblocks or detours or whatever the situation is, that is when you got to know that you know that God is real and he loves you and he's working things out for you. So I trusted him. I cried, but I got up and I kept reminding God as if he needed a reminder. Huh? I said, God, you said that. And so, you know, that kept me through.
Okay. I don't know if Renee had anything more to add. No.
I think the story up to this point has been well covered. And I will definitely add in as we start talking more about how we made it to that day.
Okay. So I'm going to ask if we were to give advice to our listeners, what is it we really want them to take away from sharing our story? And I will say, even sharing this now, it is very painful. But before I ask you to give a takeaway, Renee and Paula, I remember, although we got done separately, Renee got done before we did. You want to talk about that? Yes. She says, that's my story.
Okay. So I will bring us to the finish line of graduation in 2018. As a clinical psychologist, you have to complete an internship. And I completed mine in 2018. As I was preparing to finish my internship, I had applied for graduation for that year. And I was told I was going to not be able to participate in the larger university-wide graduation, but I could participate in the smaller one. Above my gown and all that. And I was then told I would not be able to graduate that year because they wanted to make sure that I completed my internship, even though I only had like 2 weeks left to complete it. So I was devastated by that because I already felt like it was such a long journey. And thinking back to what my Aunt Paula said, how all things work together for the good, the fact that I was delayed meant I wouldn't be able to go across the stage until 2019. And at that point, I was like, well, I'm not going across the stage. You can send me my diploma and I'm done. I'm not doing that. Thank God I bought the cap and gown, and eventually God worked on my heart. And I was like, okay. And then I find out in spring, early spring, that my mom and Aunt Paula were going to be defending. And I was like, wow, like this is amazing, because it was such a hard journey to get to that point. They ended up defending successfully. And then we realized that our graduations were going to coincide to all be on the same weekend. And it was just unfathomable that it all kind of worked out in that way. And to see how God took our journey through all of those trials and through all of those challenges and through all of the times where all three of us were absolutely ready to quit. At one point, I was like, you know what? I can become a teacher. I have so many other things. It doesn't make sense. But thank God we never quit. And as a result, and I literally have a picture of all three of us in our cap and gowns hanging up on my wall. We made it. We made it to the finish line. Mm-hmm. And so I think you wanted to go into advice for others.
Paula, did you have anything? Bibbling, did you have a question for us?
Yeah, I had a question because, you know, you guys talked about the death in the family and you talked about your journey going through all those pain and suffering of lost in the family. But I know also that you went through hardship through the colleges and different things like that, because, you know, yes, there's people also out there who started that journey on their way towards that end goal of getting that PhD or that end goal of getting that MD, and other things may have come up. And yeah, this is good where it could bring in the advice, but just talk a little bit more about the academic deterrent that you had, because some people, you know, they're at the point where they have to do their thesis. The schools are waiting for them to complete certain things and they keep on hearing no, no, no. Just talk a little bit about the trials of the academic and how you overcame those trials through academia.
Okay, who wants to go?
You can start.
Okay. First of all, I want to say I graduated with my PhD from Hampton University. Hampton University is a great school. It's a Black university, as most people hearing the name will recognize. It was a great school. We had wonderful instructors. But one thing I have to say about them, they were tough. They, if you miss a dot in an I or crossed in a T, they would send your work back. Now, I'm not exactly sure if because the universities or because it's a Black university and do not have this staff that other universities may have. So I got done actually in 2017, and I had issues, first of all, before 2017, where getting approval from place to collect my data, getting approval, that took almost 9 months to get approval from the institution, to get approval from the school to use the institution, and to satisfy all requirements of that institution, it took a total of about 6 to 9 months. Hmm. And each time you would give, and of course you're writing like 170, 180 pages of information and trying to make sure that everything lines up with your APA formatting, I tell you, I don't want to see an APA book for now. Nobody asks me about APA. And getting the numbering and getting your editors and getting your editors getting back to you in a timely manner, getting your editors following not only the APA guideline, but the school's guideline, because the school's guideline may be, although you incorporate APA, which is the American Psychological Association guidelines of how you should write papers. Mm-hmm. And it may be a slight difference between what the school requires and an APA as well. So you had to make sure you had a statistician, you had to have an editor, and just submit. So after 2017, when I was done, it took almost 2 years finally to get to defending. And when it finally got to them, when everything was fine, you guessed it, the sources were old. Hmm. So I had to look up new sources, new references, because they were now old, and you cannot have references older than a certain number of years. So I had to go back and get some of those references changed. And Vivian, I remember you coming to my house, helping me to put my pages together. You remember that?
Yeah, I did. And I remember the frustrations you've gone through where that was concerned, but you did it.
Yes. So that was some of the frustration in dealing with the school part of it. Took 2 years from completion to finally walk across that stage. Mm-hmm. Yes.
What about the other two? Do you want to share about? Because, you know, some people, they hear the story, and I know a lot of people have started their PhD and have not completed it. So I just wanted you guys to just give them a little tidbit that, hey, we not only had the struggles of death, but we have the same struggle that you've gone through academically, getting frustrated, getting pushbacks, getting, you know, hearing, no, you need to do this paper again. Your sources is outdated, but yet you guys push through. So anyone else want to add, or that's just.
Yeah, I do. One of the frustrating part of going through the journey of getting a PhD for me was you would write your chapters. So for the first part of it, you have to complete 3 chapters. And then, as Vilma was saying, you get approval. So if they read the 3 chapters and everything lines up, then they approve you to go to the next 2 chapters. And so what they would do that really frustrated me to no ends was you'd work hard, you'll send the chapters in, and then you'll go out on break. So over the summer, you're expecting that they would have read the chapters, and then, you know, September, you'll be moving on to new things. Only to find that after May, June, July, August, you go back September, it was not read at all. Mm-hmm. And so they would send it to you when you email and say, so what's going on with the chapters, they would find something very small. And Vilma talked about the lack of faculty at the time because they were grossly understaffed. Mm-hmm. I get it, but, you know, we were paying. It wasn't free. We paid for each semester. We invested the work and the time in getting the chapters in on time, only to find that it comes back after the summer and after you inquire about feedback, then they would give you a barrage of different things that you should have done. So now you have to redo everything practically. So that frustration, and definitely I can see why people will finish the three chapters and decide, listen, you know, I can't deal with all this stress of rewriting, of waiting. Let me just graduate without doing the actual research. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we did it. We made it through. But there was a lot of frustration of getting the work sent back, revising, waiting for months, nothing coming. And then when they finally look at it, then you have to practically rewrite most of what you had.
Hmm. Wow.
So that was a big frustration.
So what advice or what things that you can able to say to an individual who say, I quit? What would you say to an individual like that?
You know, Vivian, my sister and I would almost every other week, I would call her and I would say, Vilma, I quit. I am not doing this. And then she said, you can't quit. I said, watch me. Mm-hmm. So she would talk me out of it. We'll pray about it. And then 2 weeks later, she's calling me, I quit. I am not doing this. And I say, you can't do that. So one thing I'll say to people, find a support system. God and having somebody who they won't understand the journey unless they've walked it. But you need that support person that can say, listen, scream, do whatever you have to do, but then you have to go back. You have to get back on track and finish it. So it's not unusual to feel like I'm going to quit. Mm-hmm. I really, really am going to, you know, but it's just having the support person there, somebody that can encourage you. And also I cannot overstate the importance of a relationship with God, because when everything else is going wacky, that's one sure foundation that you can go back to and hold on to.
Awesome. Anything, Dr. Renee, you want to add to that?
I definitely agree. A support system is absolutely necessary. One thing I didn't share before, as they were kind of talking about the academic struggles, I actually, though it was definitely challenging, I was able to defend my dissertation in a pretty good amount of time. But what ended up holding me back was getting an internship. And that's something that you can only apply for once a year. So if you don't get it, you have to wait a whole nother year before you can apply again. And not getting it was devastating to me. And those were the moments where I wanted to quit, throw in the towel, and just be done. I was like, I could do the academic stuff. Why isn't this other area kind of working out for me? That being said, having people that I could rely on, and I think understanding who you are. So for so long growing up, I rooted myself in education. My identity was in education. My identity was getting certain grades, being on the honor roll. That's who I thought I was. That's what I thought brought me value. And it wasn't until going through this journey that was so long and so arduous that I realized that my value wasn't going to be in my education. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't going to be in the degree that I earned at the end of the day. God loved me and valued me with or without it. Mm-hmm. And once I had that understanding, yes, it was hard and it was challenging, but it wasn't going to define me. I was going to do this because I felt it was God's will for my life, mm-hmm. but I was not going to allow it to define me. And that helped to kind of experience the crushing and the pressure without letting it completely take me out. Mm-hmm. And as my mom said, just relying on the fact that God loves us.
Mm. That's good.
Yeah. What I would say, number one, is when you start a journey, always know that there are going to be unexpected turns on the journey. There are going to be potholes. There are going to be not just simple potholes, but craters that you may fall in. But along the journey, you have to think about, why am I doing this? Mm-hmm. And you also need to know that you cannot do this journey alone. Paula started out by talking about it being a journey and mentioned going from Jamaica to Canada and then here to the United States. And I think about it as having in your car when you go on a journey, making sure you have a spare tire, making sure that you have your jumper cables, making sure you have things that if you get a flat or if you run into a problem, if your battery dies, if you have an accident, then you are equipped or you're able to get the help that you need. So you want to make sure that you are prepared for the uneventful things, the curveball that life throws at you. No man is an island. You cannot do this thing just on your own. And sometimes even having a physical person there is not enough. You need God. If we were not a family that knew God, trusted in Him, and was mature, I don't think we would have made it. Hmm. I don't think so, because I have a number of people that they just completely turn away from God when tragedies came along because they were not able to continue to do this. So think of it, as Paula said, as a journey. Think of what you need for your journey. We see sometimes God would tell people, don't take anything. And for others, he would say, the children of Israel, he told them, pack. Borrow from your neighbors, borrow from them, pack and go. And there are times he would say, take nothing on this journey but God. So we have to know what we need to take on the journey. We have to know where the pit stops are, how to refresh ourselves and to start again.
Those are really some good comments that you guys have had. Anything else you guys want to add before we wrap up, ladies?
Paula?
I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to share my journey. And I really hope that it helps someone who is possibly on that journey towards, mm-hmm. it may not be a PhD, it may be just trying to get your first degree,
right.
Or your master's, but going on the journey, like Vilma say, you have to be prepared and knowing that it's possible. It is possible.
Right.
Absolutely.
Definitely. And I like, Paula, that you said about accountability. That's so important. And Renee, about identity, knowing that your being and who you are is not in your academics, but it was in your identity in Christ. And I really just love that, because that relationship that you built and that accountability that you had around you, Paula, those were the things that can get someone else, like you said, Paula, from not just your PhD, but your master's or your bachelor's or even your associate, because some people might be on that level also that continue. And you said, through Christ, you can do all things. And without God, all three of you ladies were saying, you don't know how you're able to make it if it wasn't for the grace of God. So those are things that I think really good advice that one can apply. Make sure you have that accountability. Make sure you have people around you can build you up. Even when you feel like quitting, you have someone to say, you can do this. You can go the extra mile. You can complete this. And even when you feel like I'm doing everything right, why is this not working out? The accountability person can still be there for you to uplift you. So I just appreciate you ladies sharing your story and appreciate you taking this time to join us. It was really a touching, moving journey that, you know, I'm sure someone and everyone can able to associate with or find something from. Right, Velma?
Yes, definitely. Definitely.
So thanks once again for listening and joining us. This is another episode of Life Chat with Vivinville. Goodbye.
Bye.